Creators live on Joy 99.7 in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana, including Bishara Radio Tamale, Sky FM Sunyani, and Radio Free Nandom. Also live on X Spaces Facebook live stream and my Joy online interactive app. The Midday News is sponsored by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol, always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by DuraPlus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes and water tank, the only water storage tank with a level indicator. Where DuraPlus goes, water flows. This afternoon, SNED fires back after reports said its reserves will be depleted by 2036, insisting those are just projections that will never come to pass and that SNED will pay benefits in 2036 and beyond.
That the scheme will be able to pay pensions and meet its financial obligations from now to 2036 and beyond.
We're live at the Pension House, where SNED says there's the need to urgently increase members' contribution to make the fund sustainable. Also, Labour expert takes on trade union leadership, accusing them of acting unconcerned as government indebtedness to pension funds threaten livelihoods and the survival of the Social Security and National Insurance Trust.
Organised Labour must know that they have a responsibility to protect the interest of those who pay union dues to them. And who will be the Director General of SNED should be of concern to us. It shouldn't be appointed by a president.
And as concerns emerge over SNED's ability to keep the pension payment afloat in a few years, a pension expert is warning of more danger.
But the picture is more gloomy than the ILO report is actually painting. Oh. And not long ago, we had 17 contributors contributing into the system to support one pensioner. As we speak, the number has reduced to 7.
Also coming up, rest assured, the issues with the intermittent power supply will be over soon. Words of Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Oubami as he says measures have been put in place to end the challenge in the coming days.
They are working at it, and I am very confident that this will go a long way to deal with it. But I say that I want your support and come here.
We have details as he shares aspects of his family life to highlight what he describes as a unique blend of religious affiliations and diversity in his meeting with religious leaders also.
So Abawarabe to cabinet minister, Abawarabe MP.
You unseated a cabinet minister at Ejiso and found nothing wrong with that.
Battle for the Ejiso seat intensifies as the NPP marshals all artillery, including the president, against its former party member, Ejiomi, who is also marching the party boot for boot to come out victorious in Tuesday's by-election.
So Abawarabe to cabinet minister.
I'm not a traitor. They should learn to be good leaders and solve problems that are in the party so that the party can stand up. I'm telling you, MPP has no spirit in Ejiso constituency.
We'll also hear from the Electoral Commission and political watchers who believe this election will set the tone for the December elections in sports.
Dreams FC's stunning CAF Confederation Cup run ends as coach Karim Zito reflects on lessons from their campaign.
And also, High Court dismisses suit compelling president to receive the anti-LGBTQ bill. These are more coming up with me, Mami Sinyamche Thompson. Stay for details. The Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, is this afternoon defending the sustainability of the scheme after reports emerged its reserves could be depleted by 2036. An International Labour Organization actuarial study reveals SNIT may not be able to pay pensions in the next 12 years due to a myriad of issues. Addressing journalists this morning, SNIT Chief Joseph Poku insisted that the ILO work was just a projection and that will never come to pass. Joseph Poku recounted similar projections from 2011 to 2020, which all projected similar outcomes but never happened, assuring contributors that the trust will be able to pay pensions by 2036 and beyond.
So when you see a report saying that the next 50 years or next 12 years the scheme will collapse, it doesn't mean it's going to collapse. That's what it doesn't even say. So the reserve to expenditure ratio that we are talking about, that is hitting zero at 2036 in this current report. What it means is that every year we the expenditure of the scheme, pension payment, everything, administrative expense and all that. And then we look at the reserve at the year and see if we're not to collect any money, no contribution coming in, nothing, how much will the reserve last? Every year we do that in the projection. So the 2036 one that you are saying going to be zero is like based on those assumptions. Going into the future year on year calculation in 2036, when you do that, that's how it becomes in 12 years. It doesn't mean that in 12 years the scheme is going to collapse. No, no way, no two ways about it. I mean, there's no, it's not the truth. It's based on those assumptions. This is what the whole actual provision report is about. And let me say quickly that the scheme will be able to pay pensions and meet its financial obligations from now to 2036 and beyond.
Well, Snit says what the ILO report shows is that there's an urgent need to increase contributions of members of the scheme. Both the employer and the employee currently pay 18.5% of the worker's basic salary to the scheme. Snit says that must go up and they're working to get the buy-in of stakeholders.
Over the years, like I said, it gives you an idea. So this report is not different from the reports that we've obtained over the years. Like I said, it gives you an idea where you are going as a scheme. And then you take proactive measures to steer off if there is any danger ahead of you. That's exactly what it does. What has run through all these reports is the need for increase in contribution rates. In all the reports, the previous reports, that is what it says, that we need to increase the contribution rates. But ladies and gentlemen, let me mention that it doesn't come easy to increase contribution rates. It means the law has to be changed. We need to engage stakeholders. We have the employers. We have the workers.
And he has SNIT Chief, Mr. Joseph Poku. My colleague Kweku Asante joins us from the SNIT Pension House where this news conference was held. Kweku, you've been asking questions about exactly what SNIT is doing to make the scheme sustainable and end these projections. What has been the response?
Well, according to the SNIT Chief Actuary, government has put in place a number of measures to ensure that SNIT is sustainable, which includes going after both the private and the public sector, government and private companies who are deducting pension money from employees and not paying up to the scheme. They believe that the measures they've put in place over the last few years will pay up and SNIT will continue to be sustainable.
When it comes to investments, we've been managing investment risk to improve investment returns through one, the implementation of an asset allocation policy and undertaking investments in line with the policy. We are currently working to rebalance our investment portfolio to achieve the policy targets.
Well, Kweku, again, government's indebtedness has been cited as a key factor in the struggles of SNIT. They've been providing an update on government remittances.
Yes, according to the Chief Actuary, Joseph Poku, he is unable to state specifically how much government owes, except to say that government has paid up to the end of January. Government is owing part of March and part of February. But in terms of the totality of how much government owes, the legacy debt, and in terms of also the interest accruing on that, he's unable to provide any update on that.
And they are, as we speak, I'll get there. So, Previously, government had issued bonds to meet arrears and all coupon payments have been met, the bonds that they have issued. Recently, they issued a bond for $1 billion and discussions are ongoing for bonds to be issued for the rest of the money that they owe. Monthly contributions have been paid up to January 2024.
Well, we've been getting some reactions from Labour expert Austin Game.
When they deduct money from your pay, it's no longer your employer's money. It's your money that has been sent to SNIT in your name, not in your employer's name. Okay. And therefore, you are the owner of the money. And so together, including my money, we must ensure that we protect it. So the one who appoints the people, the one who go to borrow the money, at what rate and so forth and so on, writing it off, I think we must have to make decisions.
So it means that we have to check government interference.
Organized labor must know that they have a responsibility to protect the interest of those who pay union dues to them. And therefore, they have an onerous duty to ensure that we do not just have four people, and they must look for people who have the capacity to make decisions and report on it, and who will be the Director General of SNITCH should be of concern to us. It shouldn't be appointed by a president. I don't mean today, tomorrow, 1930-10 to come.
So how bad is the situation, and can it be reversed anytime soon? A pension expert, Mushad Abdullahi, believes the worst is yet to come.
Now let's see what happened between 2021 and 2023. Of course, that is what is going to constitute the next actuarial valuation period. We have been told that the scheme will be depleting, or the scheme reserves will be depleting by 2036. Mm. And it's all over the place. And, you know, we see it to be something new. But the picture is more gloomy than the ILO report is actually painting. Oh. And as I said, I want to break it down. I'll begin with dependency ratio. Dependency ratio is basically looking at the number of workers who are contributing into the scheme to support one pensioner. Not long ago, we had 17 contributors, contributing into the system to support one pensioner. As we speak, the number has reduced to 7.
And you had pension expert Mushad Abdullahi. Your election headquarters is sponsored by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity, SEMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, and AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, and the German Ozone Medical Center, alternative therapy, dental, wellness, and beauty. Now, the challenges you're experiencing with the stability of electricity will be over in the coming days. These are the words of Vice President Mahamudu Bawumia as he begins the first round of his campaign in the Eastern region. Speaking during a meeting with religious leaders, he said he had received assurances from the energy minister that measures have been put in place to end the current Dumso crisis soon.
Received from the Minister for Energy that those issues with power challenges, but I can say from the assurances I have received from the Minister for Energy that those power challenges will very soon, and I mean very soon, be a thing of the past. They are working at it, and I am very confident that this will go a long way to deal with it. But I say that I want your support. I'm come here to ask for your support. I want us to go to take Ghana to a different level.
Well, he's also shared aspects of his family dynamics to highlight what he describes as a unique blend of religious affiliations and diversity.
My whole life, and by divine providence, I should say, has navigated a certain path in life that has brought me to respect any person, regardless of background, religion, ethnicity, and so on. I was born and raised in a family of 17. That is my father's children. Out of this, 9 of us are Christian, and 8 of us are Muslim. Myself, I was at one point when I was growing up a member of the Methodist Boys Brigade.
Well, let's get on the phone lines now and speak to our Eastern Regional Correspondent, Maxwell Kodeko. Maxwell, what else has Dr. Bawumia been saying?
Well, Dr. Bawumia has been talking about his record in government as the Vice President and the record of the MPP government as compared to the NDC government. And he talked about the fact that the data speaks for itself. He says that in the last 7 years, they have created 2.1 million jobs from the private and the public sector. He said that there are a lot of development that has happened under the MPP administration in every sector of the economy, adding that he is better placed and experienced. He has performed better in government than the former president, Mr. John Dramani Mahama. So the people should give it an opportunity to serve. He talked about the fact that he has a new strategy to fight corruption, and he's going to be more accountable to the people. And so when given the opportunity, he's going to foster, he's going to build on the track record of the current administration and then move Ghana to the highest level.
Well, Maxwell, what more will Dr. Bawumia be doing in the region before the day ends?
Well,
Dr. Momia would do a whistle, would do a stop and greet at some various markets in the eastern region. He stop now at in Kwakai. He's going to have a short interaction with the artisans at the Kofodia magazine. He will pass through. Today's a market day in Kofodia, so you pass through almost all the major market centers, stop and greet and interact with the market women. He's built to have an engagement with the regional House of Chiefs, and then he would do a town hall meeting with the youth, which is called the Youth Connect, right, at the Culture Center later this evening. Later in the evening, we are told he's going to have a meeting with an extended regional executive meeting, okay, with all the MPs.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
Elementary candidates and then the regional and constituency executives in the east.
Thank you so much. Master Okudiako is our man in the eastern region. In less than 24 hours, the people of Ejusu will finally elect a representative for parliament. As simple as that may sound, it is also a crucial election that political watchers say will set the tone for the December polls. Rounding up campaigns in the last couple of days has been intense as the NPP marshalled all its artillery, including President Akufo-Addo, to whip up votes for their candidate Kwabena Boateng. My colleague Nanaya Ojima has more.
Big wigs of the NPP, including President Akufo-Addo and his vice, Dr. Bamia, were present in the final rally of the party ahead of the by-election. The president mounted the campaign platform with some jabs for the former MP who is attempting a comeback as an independent candidate.
So Abawabe to cabinet minister, Abawabe MP.
You unseated a cabinet minister at Ejusu and found nothing wrong with that. But today, you are everywhere talking. Late Sunday night, the independent candidate was on the grounds to wrap up his campaign. Kwabena Osu-Adeyemi severed ties with the NPP after a declaration to run as an independent candidate in the upcoming by-election. Mr. Adeyemi claims the NPP lacks leadership, dismissing allegations of being a traitor.
I don't want to say anything bad against the president. He is the president of Ghana. I'm not a traitor. When I lost the primaries, did I go independent? I did not.
And that was a report put together by Nana Yaljima. He joins us on the line now. Nana, on the eve of this crucial election, how would you describe the atmosphere in Ejusu?
The constituency is very calm, unlike previous days where speakers were mounted on vehicles going through the streets on campaign. But the by-election and expectations of the people continue to be on the lips of every person within the constituency. From all indication, constituents are ready for the day. Presence of security is strongly felt on the ground as well.
Thank you very much, Nana Aljuma. On the other hand, the Electoral Commission has indicated they are prepared for Tuesday's election, assuring all materials are ready. Dr. Sribo Kweku is Director of Electoral Services.
We have submitted all the materials and the results that are needed to the district. I've been in Ejusu since Saturday. Everything is set. Today, we are concluding the packaging and the orientation of how the work will be done with the night security and the rest. We have had a lot of meeting with the security, so I would say that we are good to go. We are hoping that by 6:30, all the polling stations should have received their materials.
Away from that, an Accra High Court has dismissed the mandamus application filed by Member of Parliament for South Dai, Roxanne Nelson Dafemokpo, seeking, among others, to compel President Akufo-Addo to assent or otherwise the anti-LGBTQ bill passed by Parliament. Lawyers for the Attorney General, represented by Chief State Attorney Sylvia Adesu, argued that the High Court had no jurisdiction to grant the application being filed by Roxanne Nelson Dafemokpo. Justice Ellen Miracle, in her ruling, however, indicated that the court has jurisdiction but dismissed the mandamus application using her discretionary powers. She noted that the two suits filed by private citizens, Professor Amanda Odoi and Richard De La Sky, had direct implications into the mandamus application and hence declined the reliefs being sought by the Saldari MP. Lawyer for Saldari MP, Ni Pakosamwada, joins us on the phone lines. We're grateful for your time here on the Midday News. What's your reaction to this ruling?
Well, I think that the ruling is a mixed bag, depending on how you want to look at it. The court, in one breath, is saying that, let me use the word, I think that's what I heard her use in the court, that we have met the threshold for grant of the application. So the legal basis for granting the application, we have met it. However, it is a discretionary remedy. And so the court can decide to not grant it, even though you have met the legal requirements, you may decide not to grant it for stated reasons. And one of the reasons, the most fundamental reason at least that I recall her given, even though she didn't read out the full ruling, was the fact that one of the writs in the Supreme Court deals with the constitutionality of the passage of the bill. Now, one of our reliefs was the declaration that the bill has been duly passed by Parliament. So she is saying that if the Supreme Court rules otherwise, it means that whatever she would have done would have been in vain or would have been rather nugatory. So at the present moment, she is not able to exercise her discretion in our favor until the Supreme Court has dealt with the matter. It gives us a number of options on the table.
Right.
One of it is that we are definitely going to appeal the use of her discretion, because if we meet the legal requirement, we don't see why the discretion should not rather be granted in favor of upholding the Constitution. So we have a problem with the exercise of the discretion.
Okay.
And that is where we are focused on right now.
All right. We're grateful for your time. Lawyer for Saldari MP Ni Pakosamwo-Addo on the Midday News. You're still listening to us on Joy 99.7, over 30 affiliates and on social media. We'll take a break, and later when we return, we have sports. And this afternoon, fresh pressure is mounting on government as calls for compensation and resettlement of flood victims of the Akosobo Dam intensify 6 months on.
Where is commitment? Where is our duty, our obligation, our constitutional mandate to the people we represent?
Barak.
Yes, so it's a sad end to Dreams FC's CAF Confederation Cup campaign. They suffered a 3-0 loss to Zamalek at the Baba Yara Sports Stadium. Now, their defeat ended their stunning run in the competition, which saw them reach the semi-finals on their first attempt. Now, head coach Karim Zito is confident their next participation will be better.
I'm proud of my boys. Nobody thought we'd reach here. And I'm very, very happy. Yes, we meet an experienced team. Definitely this is how it will go. We are young boys. Next time when we come in, we know how to go about it. I'm picking up a lot professionally. We should behave like professionals. We should know how to treat certain situations around in the sports. You understand me? Look at what happened before we came here. So to me, I've learned a lot of lessons that I will impart it to the people in future.
Yeah, so Dreams FC will return to the competition next season if they win the FA Cup. They are currently in the semi-finals. And before I go, Chelsea defender Thiago Silva will leave the club at the end of the season, ending his four-year tenure with the Blues. Back to you, Manisi.
Thank you, Mubarak. Now, this afternoon, calls are intensifying from all angles for the resettlement and compensation of about 39,000 flood victims of the Akosombo Dam disaster. The VRA spilled excess water from the dam last year following of flooding homes and destroying livelihoods. 6 months on, Joy News went back to examine the life after the floods following the airing of Joy News Hotline documentary. After the floods, calls are coming in for immediate action to compensate and relocate victims. We'll hear from the MP, but first here are excerpts of how life is treating some of the victims.
Before the flood, this is what I've been using. This is my property. This is what I get my daily bread away from to feed my family. But since the flood have taken place, you can now even see my place. The whole thing have been immersed in the water, so I can't even use the machine anymore. Now it's been destroyed. Those who know much about this machine knows the cost. This is also my pen. This is where I rear my goats, my duck, and even my fowls. So now they are all destroyed. So since they are no more, life is very difficult now. I don't even have anything doing anymore.
How are we going to suffer for our children? We're going to school. And our coconut, my cassava farm, I'm having cassava farm about 10 acres.
Well, the MP for North Tongue constituency, Samuel Okudzeto Ablakwa, and the regent of Mepe, Dogbe Kosi Nego, are mounting pressure on the government, insisting that urgent resettlement and compensation plans are required to restore victims.
Some of our people who were displaced and moved out of the town, they have not been able to return back home. Some of them have traveled to the neighboring towns, and they have still not come back because there's no house for them to return to.
Okay.
And it's really difficult for those who have lost their livelihoods. The farmers are crying. They have to start preparing their lands, plowing their lands, and start farming. But there's nothing for them. And it's really, really difficult for them.
Okay.
It seems that we have been forgotten.
A lot of the work that has to be done has not been done, is not going on. And one really wonders, you know, where is commitment? Where is our duty, our obligation, our constitutional mandate?
Well, in case you missed the full documentary this morning, it airs later this evening at 8:30 p.m. on the Joy News channel. Now, Ghanaian musician or music sensation King Promise has kicked off his much-anticipated Asian tour with a spectacular performance in Singapore over the weekend, where he had concert-goers grooving and singing along to every beat and lyric. Well, in case you missed it, my colleague Jacqueline Osumayabwa has more.
Set Singapore alight with a sensational performance at a jam-packed venue, marking the beginning of his highly anticipated Asian tour. With his infectious energy and undeniable talent, the Afrobeat singer wowed the crowd with a signature blend of Afrobeat, highlife, and R&B, creating an unforgettable experience for all in attendance.
And that brings us to Mac and Jackie.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Asians are singing King Promise's song.
Word for word.
Wow.
Even the three ones, yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot is trending on Twitter. Yagbonrua is trending on Twitter.
What has he done?
Yes. So in the past, we've seen videos. Videos have emerged on social media of President Akufo-Addo allegedly asking some chiefs to get up before shaking hands or exchanging pleasantries, you know, with him. Well, there was a big event in the Savannah region over the weekend, and the president and Joe Mama were both present.
Okay.
A short clip of that.